happy 5th day of the week for those of us in Australia, and 4th day of the week, or 5th day, I should say, as the night comes on, the evening and the morning, or the 5th day. I hope you're doing well. I'd like to share something with you, a story, an evangelistic story that comes from the Bible God. On one of the nests in the chicken house sat a hen with a brood of tiny chicks peeping their heads timidly out from under her wings. As the boy touched her, he found that she was dead. On her head was a wound where she had been killed by a weasel who had sucked out blood. As soon as the weasel entered the chicken house, that mother hen could have flown to the highest perch, but instead she remained on the nest to protect her chicks. On the cross, you can see similarity here. On the cross, Christ endured all that suffering just for you and for me. He could have moved away from it and saved his own life, and even still not even come. But he did not do this because he wanted to shelter you and me under his wings of care. If he had come down from the cross, like the scribes and Pharisees were saying to do, the priests, we would have been lost. The Bible says there is healing in his wings, Malachi 4:2. As a mother hen calling to her chicks, Christ has called to so many who will not come. He says in Matthew 23:37, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. But just now, what a blessing, you and I can come. We can come to our precious Jesus, who will not turn us away, but who will receive us as his own blood-bought children. Amen. Indeed. The opening song for tonight is one I think you're all familiar with, Faith of Our Fathers. Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon, fire and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whenever we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death.
Faith of our fathers, we will strive to win all nations unto thee. And through the truth that comes from God, we all shall then be truly free. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers we will love, both friend and foe in all our strife, and preach thee to as love knows how, by kindly words and virtuous life. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death.
I think somebody needs to rewrite that to say something like, may we be true to thee until death. That's a brag there. We will be true. That's what the Israelites did when God spoke the Ten Commandments. They said, all these things we will do and be obedient. And they sure didn't make it over the years.
That's a very good point, brother. And thank God that the faith of our fathers we do know, because there are many that believe the faith of our fathers is a very different faith. It's not a biblical one at all the while claiming to be in the spirit of the truth. Yeah, amen. Good advice, bro. Good advice. Well, let's have a word of prayer before we have our Bible reading. Precious Father in heaven, thank you so much for another week on this planet, because it's not alone that we are pilgrims and even strangers. God, we want to continue to learn of Jesus, to lift you up, to lift him up, to trust in the Holy Spirit to do this, to help others know that the real character of you, the real character of Jesus Christ, and the real being of the Holy Spirit that has been promised to all who desire to be free by accepting the truth. I thank you for the truth, because it is beneficial to sinners, because the truth is sacredly kept by thee, and every record, there's no error in your taking, and the angels taking of every life that's ever lived and being lived. We thank you we still have probationary time, and ask that you would continue with us to make a good use of it, believing that it is indeed known by you how long or short we have, and that there's no real longness, because the longer we're given, the more we should be looking like Jesus and sounding like him, and there's no bragging involved. I thank you for Brother Dick bringing that out just at the end of that very song, a powerful song. Keep us humble, and we will work with you to be humble ourselves, to humble ourselves. And what an honor and a high privilege it is to be able to be servants of the Most High, to be in the business of giving you glory instead of someone else, including ourselves. This is the lost state, one that we don't want to go to, one that we don't want to revive, one that we want to stay dead and continue to preach our own funeral of dying daily and Christ being alive in us. Please be with us each as we continue this day or night, and look at thy word of truth, the Bible, the testimony of Jesus, to understand the significance of where we're living, what has gone before, and what is yet to come. And thank you for doing this, not just for us, but all our brothers and sisters around the world. We pray that all of us are blessed to promote a harmony among us as believing brothers and sisters that will only tend toward edifying and building up. And thank you for being our counselor and guide, Jesus. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Okay. Sorry for the delay. Excuse me. So last week, we were looking at Daniel chapter 11, the very final verses. And it was very interesting to look at the various translations or the various versions. One of those versions, of course, is that Antiochus is still being talked about. And of course, he comes to his end in verse 45. And then, of course, leading into verse 1 of chapter 12, the belief is the rescuing of the Israelite nation. But there are two other views, and whatever view is correct, that led us to a point in the chapter that brings us to an extremely great event, a very literal event. And that's in chapter 12, verse 1 of Daniel. And with someone, oh, there's the first picture. We haven't seen one for a while. Would someone like to read verse 1 and, of course, any questions, comments, insights they'd like to share? Anyone? Go right ahead.
Yes. Why would Daniel jump from Antiochus Epiphanes in verse 45 of chapter 11 to the subject of 12:1? And at that time, what time? At that time shall Michael stand up, their great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Is this verse not talking about the close of probation? I guess that's my question, because that's what I draw from it.
That's a very good point. I mean, it's one thing to have Antiochus going all the way through Daniel 11 from about verse 22, 23, and even earlier in some versions or interpretations. But the way that they see it is that they see Michael, the great prince, which you just read, as being the patron angel of Israel, but not the commander of the angels and the leader of the angels, even Jesus Christ. They see him as a champion and defender, and that who has checked the power of the prince of Greece. Sorry, hitherto the power of the prince of Greece has been unchecked, and in previous verses, and now Michael interposes for his people's final deliverance. And who they mean by Michael is a literal created being. So he's coming along, and that from their point of view, they see it as a period of deliverance spoken of as the same period of redemption described in Daniel 7:18. Daniel 7:26 and 27, Daniel 9:24. So it's way back in the past. This deliverance. And the deliverance is the idea of the deliverance from Antiochus Epiphanes. You might remember that he ruled for 12 years and then he was no more. And then it was after him that the Jewish nation did come considerably with the most power they'd had for a long time, but they still did not have complete autonomy. And they're regarding that as being delivered from the power that ruled them all through most of Daniel 11, even via Antiochus Epiphanes. But that's a very good question, brother. You can see a very wide interpretation and entirely different than what we've understood because of previous dissertations on Daniel 11. Very good point.
Question.
So we have, go ahead.
Our understanding of this verse will determine how we understand the rest of the chapter. Are you finding a commentator that says that this verse refers to a time shortly after Antiochus Epiphanes was killed? Or died?
So I remember we were looking at three different views, and this view that it's Antiochus Epiphanes is using the general Protestant view of this verse. So I was just bringing that out to finish up, because I think it's quite linked to chapter 11, which you obviously could see and have brought up. That's from a Cambridge student book, Bible book, that I've been using and sharing the Protestant, one of the Protestants' views, a strong view, generally, it would appear. There's many for free that you can look at. You don't have to buy them. But yes, they're relating that to Antiochus Epiphanes. So that was the one view. Of course, the other view There's actually two views, which I think would be important to bring out here. So we have in another two views other than that view that I don't think we're convinced on in any particular because of the papacy's not mentioned in their view in Daniel 11, and nor is Jesus for that matter. So it's not even, both is not mentioned in there. They see it very differently. And of course, you remember, because they see it very differently, they link that to Daniel 7, Daniel 8, and Daniel 9, which I just quoted, which they link to their final deliverance. Whereas the angel's going right to the end of time. They don't see it like that. So that's their view, and that's why I shared it. So we have here that Brother Dick read the term at that time. Now it's interesting what you said. It is a very significant text because it'll help us see how we view the rest of the chapter, and I would say even the previous chapter in some ways. And this appears, it can indicate that Daniel 11:45 and chapter 12 verse 1 overlap in real time. Michael, we know, means one who is like God. Jesus, the prince who saves his people, that's already been mentioned in Daniel chapter 9 verse 25 to 27, chapter 10 verses 13 and 21, chapter 11 verse 22. And we know the archangel is not an angel, but over the angels or commander of the angels, such as an example of this is in Joshua 5, and also at the burning bush would be another example when he spoke to Moses. It says the angel Lord spoke to him, and then it says, and God said. Same thing. The pre-Advent judgment is over, according to this verse, when Jesus shall stand up, much like in Acts chapter 7, as Stephen was stoned. He saw, quote, the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God, verse 56 of chapter 7. The Jews' corporate probation closed at that very moment. The judgment started when the Father sat down in Daniel 7, verses 9 and 10, and we read that Christ Jesus came to him in Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14, and the time of the judgment was predicted in Daniel 8, 14, which led all the way from 457 BC, right to 22nd of October, 1844, the longest time prophecy in the Bible, 2300 days/years. It mentions a time of trouble such as never was, even there never was, since there was a nation even to that same time. And, of course, the seven last plagues of Revelation 16 come to mind. It's interesting in Revelation 15 verse 8, the temple is filled with smoke and no man can enter. Once the plagues begin, no one changes sides during the plagues or after. And of course that would give further evidence that the pre-Advent judgment is over when Michael does stand up. Now I find it very interesting in this verse that it says three times. Note the three uses of the phrase at that time. At that time. So at that time, the end of judgment, when Michael stands up, that's the one, first one. The time of trouble, plagues in Revelation 16, at that time, and God delivering his people are all at that time. Or the same time, if you will, or in the same real time period as the decline and fall of the power that's spoken of in Daniel chapter 11, verses 44 or 45, amen. A comment in the room, or no mediator. No mediator. Why would we need a mediator? For sins. To be cleansed and overcome by that same mediator's power, Christ Jesus. Now, here's something to consider. Specifically in this verse. You see, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered. Note, it's very interesting. We've been reading about the time and the end in Daniel 11. It changes, it would appear, it changes to a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time, that kind of a time. I noticed that a while ago, and I thought I'd just bring that out. But here's two questions. If this time of trouble that's mentioned here has been, because we're going to look at two sides, two interpretations of this verse. If this time of trouble has been and continues to be now existing, then according to this logic, no one of God's people will die because, the rest of the verse says, and at that time thy people shall be delivered. Now, you're not delivered if you die. If you go through it, you come through it at the end of the day. Well, what about the other question? If this time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, is only at the close of human probation, which is still future, because we have not got the close of probation yet, no one of God's people will die because, quote, in that time of close of human probation, and at that time thy people shall be delivered through it. Two questions to consider. Now, it is put forth to put the two sides together and to compare. We're told in that manuscript, which is very close to the only Spirit of Prophecy quote that specifically mentions something about Daniel 11. It's close to it. 13 manuscript releases 394.2 on the page. And she says, scenes similar to those described in these words will take place. We see evidence that Satan is fast obtaining the control of human minds who have not the fear of God before them. Let all read and understand the prophecies of this book. For we are now entering upon the time of trouble spoken of. And then she quotes Daniel chapter 12 verses 1 to 4. Now I think it's interesting. The view is that we've already entered this time of trouble, and that Spirit of Prophecy quote is a proof text for that interpretation. But the other side says, well, did you notice that she says we are now entering upon the time of trouble? That is beginning to enter. That is, it's not past tense. It doesn't say we've entered, but entering. And that's how the other side looks at this verse. So it's to them, it's a time of trouble, is a gradual process that began in her time and continues now and hasn't reached its finality, whereas the other view says, no, we have entered it. Now, there's a very similar statement below regarding the 13 manuscript releases, and it came in 1906, and it says, the time of trouble, trouble such as was not since there was a nation, is right upon us. So that's different wording. Doesn't say we've entered it. Is right upon us, and we are like sleeping virgins. We are to awake and ask the Lord Jesus to place underneath us his everlasting arms and carry us through the time of trial before us. That's three manuscript releases, 305. So, question in the room, is there more than one time of trouble? And so the first view sees that there is. They say we've already entered the time of trouble, and then there's another time of trouble, which is the when probation is finished. Now, it's often put forth that the idea that Sister White gave in the previous text, that we've now entered this time, and then she quotes Daniel 12:1, that that's one of the reasons why that must be in real time. But there are other texts that the other side says, such as this one, the time of trouble, such as was not since there was a nation, is right upon us. There's that same terminology, right upon us. And we are like sleeping virgins. That's in three manuscript lists. I've already read that. The time of trouble has already begun. We hear continually of riots and accidents and of murders and robberies. That's 1907. So this is looked at as that there's actually, we've already started. The other side says it's a sign of increasing trouble coming until the final time of trouble. Now it is interesting to note, in E.G. White's estate, the Ellen G. White estate, it doesn't give these quotes, but Joseph Bates recorded her words when she spoke on the subject of Revelation 4. And she says, from him writing, and she, to others' knowledge, this has never been retracted, but she said, For instance, the angels are holding the four winds. Well, that's no surprise. That's in the Bible. That's Daniel 7. Another, it is God that restrains the powers. Another, the angels have not let go, for the saints are not all sealed. Another, the time of trouble has commenced, it is begun. The reason, now this was given, by the way, in 1848, 4 years after the most holy place was entered by the Lord Jesus Christ. The time of trouble has commenced. It is begun, she says. This is what Joseph Bass recorded of her speaking. The reason why the four winds have not let go is because the saints are not all sealed. It's on the increase and will increase more and more. The trouble will never end until the earth is rid of the wicked. Another time, at that time, neighbor will be against neighbor. That time has not yet come when brother against brother and sister against sister, but will come when Michael stands up. When Michael, another quote, when Michael stands up, this trouble will be all over the earth. And the last one, why they are just ready to blow, talking about Revelation 7, there's a check put on because the saints are not sealed. So then that brings us to a question. If Daniel 12, verse 1, has and is occurring, why do you think the spirit of prophecy states the following? Now, this is on the other side that says we haven't entered it yet. This is from 1909, year 1909. I'll just touch the high points to keep it brief and to the point. 1909, Nine Testimonies to the Church, page 17. She says, but in the midst of the time of trouble that is coming, a time of trouble such as has not been since there was a nation. So I'll just touch on the main points. I'll go to the next quote. In 1911, Review and Herald, January 12, paragraph 2, she says, we are on the very verge of the time of trouble, and perplexities that are scarcely dreamed of are before us. Notice the dates. They're well after. They're a couple of years after the date that is said to be that we have already entered the time of trouble. This is from Councils to Writers and Editors, page 60, written in 1909, also in Testimonies for the Church, volume 9, pages 239 to 244. And again, I'll just touch the key points that I'm trying to bring out here. And soon the time of trouble, such as never was, so she always quotes it as it's read, as it reads in Daniel 12, will come upon us, of which we have but little idea. Here's another quote from Great Controversy 1911 edition. So should the followers of Christ, as they approach the time of trouble, make every exertion to place themselves in a proper light before the people, to disarm prejudice, and to avert the danger which threatens liberty of conscience. Another quote from 1911 edition of Great Controversy, page 622. Quote, the time of trouble such as never was is soon to open upon us, and we shall need an experience which we do not now possess and which many are too indolent to obtain. Another quote, Review and Herald, November 19, 1908, paragraph 12. The time of trouble is about to come upon the people of God. Then it is that the decree will go forth forbidding those who keep the Sabbath of the Lord to buy or sell, and threatening them with punishment and even death if they do not observe the first day of the week as the Sabbath. Another quote, this is from Review and Herald, November 19, 1908, paragraph 13. She quotes chapter 12, verse 1 of Daniel. And then she says, all whose names are registered there will be delivered, that's delivered while alive, from Satan's power. Now, you can't be delivered if you're dead. You can be delivered from the grave, but you can't be delivered from the time such as never was because you're not alive to live through it. Now, there is, I know, there is a denomination that believes that the 144,000 include those who died in the faith of the three angels. I'm aware of that. And we'll probably go through that together when we reach that point in Revelation 7 and 14, but we'll leave it till then. And they do believe that that means they go through the last plagues as well via the seventh plague and avoid the six others. I tell you, it wouldn't be much to look forward to coming out through that. So, here's another quote from Nine Testimonies, pages 16 and 17, 1909. In the midst of the time of trouble that is coming, sorry, I've already read that one. Sometimes I do repeats because if anyone's ever studied done word searches, you come across hundreds. There can be hundreds that you look at, and sometimes they're repeats, so I'm sorry for that. We're told in Great Controversy, page 613, it is when she quotes Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, and she says, when the third angel's message closes, and goes on to explain that is at that time, Daniel 12, verse 1. That's 1911. Here's another quote from Five Testimonies, page 212. She says, at that time shall Michael stand up, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time and at that time. And then she says, in Daniel 12, 1, when this time of trouble comes. Does that sound like it's come? When this time of trouble comes, every case is decided. There is no longer probation, no longer mercy for the impenitent. The seal of the living God is upon his people. This small remnant, unable to defend themselves in deadly conflict with the powers of earth that are marshaled by the dragon host, make God their defense. The decree has been passed by the highest earthly authorities that they shall worship the beast and receive his mark under pain of persecution and death. May God help his people now, for what can they then do in such a fearful conflict without his assistance? Amen. We're also told in Five Testimonies, page 230, courage, fortitude, faith, and implicit trust in God's power to save do not come in a moment. These heavenly graces are acquired by the experience of years. They eagerly accepted the light from heaven, as did the first disciples from the lips of Jesus, when those early Christians were exiled to mountains and deserts, when left in dungeons to die with hunger, cold, and torture, when martyrdom seemed the only way out of their distress. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for Christ, who was crucified for them. Their worthy example will be a comfort and encouragement to the people of God, who will be brought into the time of trouble such as never was. As you can see, there's quite a few comment statements that could be shared here. Here's another one, 1906, to a brother and sister Farnsworth, two manuscript releases, page 20. She says, the time of trouble is very near us now. Notice 1906, a couple of years after the initial quote that is said to be that we've already entered it. She says, the time of trouble is very near us now. We are to be brought into straight places in a way in which we have not been brought heretofore. The time of trouble is near, and we are to awake to a realization of this. We need an experience that we have not yet had, that we may have the assurance that the God of all grace is a very present help in time of need. Here's another, 14 manuscript releases, page 261, the year 1906. She says, right, but I am writing now because there is a time of trouble just before us, which we all must meet. Again, I'm just going to the crux of the quotation, the time sake. It is rather interesting as I've gone through the quotations, just how specific she is about Daniel 12:1 and the relationship that has on us today. There is a quote from Great Controversy, page 36, which one side says shows that it's building up to the point of the time of trouble. And here it is. Dark are the records of human misery that earth has witnessed during its long centuries of crime. And may we say the same even today. The heart sickens and the mind grows faint in contemplation. Terrible have been the results of rejecting the authority of heaven, but a scene yet darker is presented in the revelations of the future. The records of the past, the long procession of tumults, conflicts and revolutions, remember she didn't live through World War I, World War II, the battle of the warrior with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, Isaiah 9:5. What are these in contrast with the terrors of that day when the restraining spirit of God, has that happened yet? No, shall be wholly withdrawn from the wicked, no longer to hold in check the outburst of human passion and satanic wrath. the world will then behold as never before the results of Satan's rule. Does anyone have anything they'd like to share verbally about this text and insights they have, homework they've done?
I was thinking about the big gap between Daniel 11:45 and Daniel 12:1. It seems like there's an awful lot of time that goes by there. It's like it skips over an awful lot that happens in the world. And I'm thinking that perhaps Daniel wasn't given all of that because he wouldn't understand the modern world that we live in. So he just hits the very high points of the prophecy. You're just given the very high points of the prophecy, because after this time of trouble, then Michael stands up and it seems like the end of the world then.
Well, that's a very interesting point you bring up, because if Daniel 11 verses 40 to 45 has not occurred yet, then, and it's yet future, it is closely linked to Daniel 12:1. But if it has already happened, and we have reached Daniel 12:1, then it's been going for a very long time, almost 100 years, according to the view that France, Egypt, and the Ottoman, that Turkey being the kingdom north is the actual interpretation. But if it's not, if it hasn't yet happened, it'd actually be very close to Daniel 12:1 yet to happen in consecutive order in quick fashion rather than over a long period of time. But thank you for bringing that up, sis. I'm trying not to be prejudiced in the presentations here. I never forget when we were finishing the Book of Acts. And there I was thinking we're going to Book of Romans. And Brother Bob came up with the idea, well, would you like to... Well, he asked everyone and they all sent, you know, Daniel and Revelation to him. And I thought, wow, that would be exciting. Because at that time I had been looking at various different interpretations on it. This, as you do, especially those areas where you're not really sure about, you know, when you become a Christian, because they're not, you know, set in stone like the Ten Commandments, for instance, the heavenly sanctuary, the ministry of Jesus Christ in the heavenly sanctuary, the Sabbath truth, the state of the dead, you know, old landmarks. To go to the other side that says we have entered this time of trouble, and thank you for mentioning that, Sister Lucy. It's a very good point. I mean, I wonder how much the increase in trouble then and now, according to some of the quotes I gave from this prophecy, is due to the huge increase in around-the-world communication, not putting down that there is an increase. Yeah, absolutely. There is this view then. There's another quote that's regularly, that is used to support that we have entered a time of trouble that's mentioned in the Bible, that's mentioned in the Spirit of Prophecy. And this is the other quote. And this comes from early writings. I'm sure you're all familiar with it, early writings, pages, 33 and 34. And also the explanation it gives in page 85. It says, at the commencement of a time of trouble. And then she... In page 85, the description of what that time of trouble is. The commencement of that time of trouble, Leah mentioned, does not refer to the time when the plague shall begin to be poured out, but to a short period just before they are poured out while Christ is in the sanctuary. At that time, while the work of salvation is closing, trouble will be coming on the earth and the nations will be angry, yet held in check so as not to prevent the work of the third angel. And that's an explanation given in early writings, page 85. And she goes on to say, on pages 33 and 34, we were filled with the Holy Ghost as we went forth and proclaimed the Sabbath more fully. Now, another explanation in early writings, page 85, given by the Alan G. White estate, this view was given in 1847 when there were but very few of the Advent brethren observing the Sabbath. And of these, but few supposed that its observance was of sufficient importance to draw a line between the people of God and unbelievers. Now, the fulfillment of that view is beginning to be seen. End of quote from the bottom line stat. Now, there is a quote in early writings, page 85. At that time, the latter rain and refreshing from the presence of the Lord will come, that at that time, short period before time of trouble, such as never was. But the idea is that it already started according to one view, because she does mention, quote, at the commencement of the time of trouble. But then she qualifies it by saying it's not the time of trouble that's mentioned in the Bible. We know that, from historically speaking, the latter rain began with the message of Christ, our righteousness, in 1888, and it swells into a loud part, something that would appear that there are people who don't understand that or don't want to understand it or think that somehow some magic or some miracle is going to occur to them to get them to work the works of Christ and get out of Adelaide sin position, but that's not biblical or spirit of prophecy based. There is another question. There is, continuing early writings, page 33 and 34, she goes, this enraged the church's non-word dentists if they could not refute the Sabbath truth. And at this time, God's chosen all saw clearly that we had the truth, and they came out and endured persecution with us. They came out of Babylon, fallen churches. Now, the question can be put by the other side that says the time of trouble such as there was hasn't occurred, and leading up to it, is this happening over worldwide all over? Is this being fulfilled today? Is everyone enduring persecution with us? Are they seeing Sabbath truth? And are they going through persecution? I would have to say, historically speaking, this is not happening for most of us, at least. And of course, the amount that we're talking about is over 7 billion people. There are people that don't even know Jesus' name, let alone the Sabbath truth of the Lord. She goes on to say, I saw sword, banners, pestilence, and great confusion in the land. The wicked thought that we had brought the judgments upon them, and they rose up and took counsel to rid the earth of us, thinking that then the evil would be stayed. That would be, from historically speaking, from presently speaking, that does not appear to have happened yet. Now, when she speaks of the time of trouble in early writings, pages 33 and 34, she doesn't comment on the time of trouble, but only the one mentioned earlier. She mentions two times of trouble, but the first one she doesn't comment on because... the second one she doesn't comment on because she's regarding that as the Bible time of trouble. But when you go to page 85 of early writing, she says that first time of trouble she mentions is not the time of trouble when the plagues are brought out. So there's a complete difference. She goes on to say, we all fled from the cities and villages and were pursued by the wicked who entered the house of the saints with a sword. They raised the sword to kill us, but it broke and fell as powerless as a straw. This has not happened yet. Then we all cried day and night for deliverance, and the cry came up before God. The sun came up, and the moon stood still, the streams ceased to flow. What a day that's going to be. It is interesting that in early writings, Sister White uses the term a time of trouble before probation closes. What I found in this verse used as proof that we are in that time of trouble, Daniel 12:1, is that she then qualifies it in page 85 by stating that she is not referring to the one and only time of trouble that is mentioned in the Bible more than once. And has anyone ever done a study of the time of trouble in the spirit of prophecy? Have you ever looked at where it is in the Bible? I'm sure you have the Bible at least, because I say the spirit of prophecy, there's about 900 plus statements on it. And according to the Bible and the spirit of prophecy, there's only one time of trouble, which is of a short duration and the worst ever, no peace like what we have and do experience. And how many quotes can you find? I found about 90. That's 9-0. 90. And we speak of one time of trouble, and it's through the plagues. It's through the human privation of spinach. I can give you all the quotes, but I won't bore you with them. But the ones that are in the Bible, you'll be familiar, Job 38:23, and Jeremiah 30:4-9 speak of that time of trouble. And then there are about 88 quotes from the spiritual prophecy, which say there's only one time of trouble, which is Daniel 12:1. I have to ask you all, in looking at this study, to quote early writings, page 33 again, she says, and at the commencement of the time of trouble, we were filled with the Holy Ghost, and as we went forth and proclaimed the Sabbath more fully, this enraged the churches and nominal Adventists, as they could not refute the Sabbath truth. And at this time, God's chosen all saw clearly that we had the truth, and they came out and endured the persecution with us. I saw the sword, famine, pestilence, and great confusion in the land. The wicked thought that we had brought the judgments upon them, and they rose up and took counsel to rid the earth of us, thinking that then the evil would be stayed. That's page 33.2. Now, I want to ask you all a question. Do we consider this as present truth? Do we believe that we have and are experiencing the fullness of the power from the Holy Spirit in giving the loud cry, which she describes here? Now, this doesn't really matter whether you believe the time of trouble has already occurred or not, in a sense, but the question is really one of historical and what's happening right now. Because it does start with the paragraph with, and at the commencement of the time of trouble, and the view that that's already started, they relate that to Daniel 12:1. The spirit of prophecy doesn't do that, but that term, time of trouble, it does come, and that same term can be found in chapter 12:1. Oh, I'm sorry about that. So you're probably not even really understanding what I'm saying. That's bad enough when I am making sense. Maybe. That was a poor joke. I wonder if I should go out and in. Yes, hugely. Oh, dear. Maybe the Lord's made it like this. I'll be right back.
Brother, don't leave. I think it just has to do with your connection. So if someone else talks for a little bit and then you come back and try to talk, maybe that will clear it up. So let me share some things and then come back and see if it clears it up. When you look at, to me, Daniel 12:1 is dealing with the close of probation. Because Michael does not stand up until probation's closed, until every single person has made up his mind whether they're going to accept Christ or reject him, whether they're going to receive the mark of the beast or the seal of God. And until he stands up, he's ministering in the most holy place. So when he stands up, it's now a difference in what he has done before. So when Michael stands up, probation has closed. And then it says that at that time, or after Michael has stood up, he's no longer an intercessor or a mediator before God. Probation's closed for the world. It says, thy people shall be delivered. We know that it's at the voice of God in the seventh plague. And then it says, everyone that shall be found written in the book is going to be delivered. So that means there's been an investigation made into who is retained in that book. That goes back to Daniel 7, dealing with the judgment has set, the books are opened, and everyone shall be judged based upon what's written in the books. So here we see that it's been a completed work because the names are found written in the book, meaning they've been investigated. Those that have proven true are retained in the book. Those that have not proven true are removed from the book. So to me, Daniel 12:1, dealing with Christ standing up, is the close of probation, and it's solidified by the last part of that sentence. Those shall be delivered whose names are found written in the book. That's a closed investigation.
Thank you for that, Roy. Yeah, that's very interesting points. I've been looking at it much that way as well, except there is an interesting point here. Oh, I'm still garbled. Can you still sort of understand me?
Yeah, it just sounds like two people trying to talk at the same time. At least they're saying the same thing. Well, that must have blown him out of the room. Hopefully when he comes back, he's left his friend behind.
Can you all hear me? Is it any? Oh, wow. So has that been pretty poor all along since I've been, you know, since I started, or was it sort of near the end when you let me know, or did I miss a text?
About halfway through.
Brother, if I could make a suggestion that since the crux of what you were sharing is about where the garble noise started, why don't you next Wednesday go right to that crux of the matter and go through it again? And, you know, that way we'll have time to digest it in between and be able to comment or add to or, you know, bring a differing view at that time. So how does that sound, brother?
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea. That sounds like a good plan. Hopefully, I look forward to your feedback on this. I think it's very important to understand. I think it's interesting, Brother Bob, you're sharing that, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that be found written in the book. When you look at verse 2, and then it says what's going to happen, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt, but not to go through a time of trouble such as never was, but the people that are alive that don't see death are delivered. And then, of course, those who are in the grave are delivered as well. But I think it's very interesting, this understanding of the time of trouble, because I think Sister Jones saying, Brother Dick mentioning, you know, it's how you understand this is how you're going to understand the rest. So, hopefully, I'll leave my garbling for the week. And, Lord willing, we'll continue next week. And, please feel free to, you know, any homework you've done throughout the decades or years, or any new homework you're impressed to do, I hope you can bring it next week, because we want to understand this and be sure we know what we believe. Does anyone have anything else to share on this, what we've been looking at, including the garbling?
I was just thinking about the time of trouble. When you're living through a time of trouble, you start thinking that, now maybe this is that time of trouble such as never was. I'm sure that's probably what the Christians that were being persecuted thought when so many of them were being killed by the Roman Catholic Church. And then, the World War I, World War II, that was a time of trouble such as never was. And now we have this coronavirus, and the whole world seems to be on the same page. Now that's something like there never was before, when the whole world is involved at the same time in the same thing.
That's true. We see a lot of situations occurring that have never occurred in the past, or perhaps have not occurred on this scale in the past. And you can look at it from the aspect, it's like it's never was. But in Daniel 12:1, we're dealing with a specific point in time where Christ has stood up. And then there's that time of trouble such as never was. So even though things are occurring around us that perhaps have never occurred before, is not in reference to Daniel 12:1 time after Christ stands up. Because after he stands up, the four angels are no longer holding the four winds, and thus there is a time of trouble at that point, that there is no angel of mercy to hold back judgments from God. So that is definitely a time that we have not experienced. It is yet future, and it is going to be so tumultuous that nothing can compare to it. So that time of trouble after Michael stands up is the key to understanding the time frame.
So that time of trouble would be when mountains disappear in the ocean, there's hail that's so heavy that it destroys everything. So the four winds, it sounds like it's a climatic thing where there's great earthquakes and all kinds of terrible storms. Yes, and the seven last plagues.
That's very interesting, and thank you for your comments on this. I think one of the reasons, looking at two views, the first view that I brought out regarding the belief that we've already entered it, the time of trouble such as never was, I'm just bringing that out because it is relatively new, from my understanding, and I thought we've been sharing more than one view, we would look at that. I didn't have to do that, but of course there are even among us some that believe that this time has already happened. They're not saying that Michael stood up, but they're separating the time of trouble such as never was from Michael standing up. And so they see that we've already entered it, but Michael hasn't stood up, which is hard to do in the context of Daniel 12:1. And they have their reasons. That's what I've been trying to share, both for and against, or two sides, which has probably been garbled away. You probably can't even understand what I'm saying now. Put a laugh out loud if you caught that. But looking forward to that, talking about it in the future. And God bless you in your study of this important topic.
We appreciate all the different sides you're bringing out. That's very important, and it's very interesting. And thank you for all that study that you're doing.
James, if you decide to look at that link, you don't need to spend time on the first 14 minutes or something like that. If you go directly to the speaker, you'll get the crux of what's going on. Or did you lose it when you left the room? Did you block it and copy it, or did you lose it?
I did it on the fly, bro. I don't know if you caught me on the green screen, but I did it on the fly just in case that would happen. I'm just writing in 14 minutes in. Thanks for it.
Okay. I left the room there, you noticed, I thought maybe the garble was my computer, so I went out and came back in, and you still had the garble. Bob jumped in and said, how about you taking a trip out and back? And that worked.
Well, looking forward to next time, continuing this important study. There's a lot of meat in that first verse. It really links up chapter 11, doesn't it? And as you know, chapter 12 is the last chapter in the book of Daniel, and this revelation that's given to him by the angel Gabriel, sent by Jesus himself. Interesting indeed. Does anyone have anything to share, any testimonies, any prayer requests that they'd like to share before we open it up to a season of prayer?
I'd like to say something. You know, it is down further in this chapter. Daniel says, I heard, but I didn't understand. What's going on? He never said that after Daniel 7, 8, and 9, or 10. He must have understood those prophecies. I don't know. We'll ask him when we get on the other side.
Well, that's interesting you say that, brother. I thought he did say something at the end of them, and they were usually my cogitations troubled me. I was sick for a few days, but then I went to work. But when he comes, like you just quoted here, he seems to not be sick, or his cogitations don't lose him. He just doesn't really understand. Like Sister Joan, perhaps this is where he's coming from. I just don't understand future events. And like, he's 2,500 years plus back in history. I mean, how is he going to understand? Imagine us being told exactly what's going to happen 200 years from now, or maybe 1,000 or 2,500 years. What language would you speak so you can understand? But, you know, it wasn't for Daniel to understand, but for us to understand, those that live in the time of the end, when this portion of prophecy that was sealed would be revealed. But what's everyone else's take on it?
You know, I remember Sister White in one of her writings saying that in the time of the end, that people would be driving around with whole houses on their cars, and you see that in the RVs. So she saw that in advance, because there wasn't anything like that when she was alive.
How about the chariots jostling in the streets?
Well, I have a praise. Yeah, amen. Flaming chariots, I was thinking of that. You know, cars at night time, don't they look like flaming chariots or lightning at night? Especially if you've never seen them before. I have a praise to God. I was just talking earlier to Brother Bob before we started tonight about completing four issues of the magazine, Truth is Truth. And with Lucy's help, she's my assistant editor, and it's been a real blessing to do them in preparation of going door to door and giving hard copies for free to people in the hope that they'd be interested in the various things that are available for free, last day lessons, and of course the various topics that we're hoping to cover, which is on health, spiritual health, on matters that we're hoping will stir. We're praying that will stir an interest in people to at least take the booklet, to take the magazine. I figured that this, I think it was a year and a bit ago that I was impressed about this, to go from newsletter to a magazine, with the idea that it would be a great tool on top of going door-to-door offering free literature and multimedia, because, you know, most people would say, well, I already can get free literature and multimedia. I'm not really interested in seeing the subjects. You've got the internet. Unlimited, you can, yeah, the sky's the limit. But this is a different way of going about sharing something that they don't have that sort of an answer to give you. But not everyone says that, especially not the elderly and those that are not fluent in computers or on computers. So I thank God I got this far, and thank you, dear Sister Lucy, for your help. Well, shall we open it up to a season of prayer? If anyone's impressed to pray, please feel free. I'll go first, and God bless. Precious Father in heaven, thank you so much for the opportunity to share time with your children. Thank you for the privilege of having the Bible in our hands, the whole Bible and nothing but the Bible, and to have the extra source of the spiritual prophecy to direct us to know and understand the prophets, the Old and New Testament, the central theme, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, which is the Bible in verity. Thank you for allowing us to be part of this grand work, and it is grand. None of us claim to be able to do it without your power, and for those who might think that it can be done without your power, we'll still fail, because the purpose is for us to be co-workers with you, and help us not make it, help us see what we're doing that is right in thine eyes, and what needs changing, what we need to learn, and what we need to unlearn in the process of this, by getting an experience that puts thy knowledge to experimentation that equals experience and gives us hope and patience, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by faith, which comes by hearing the word of God. Thank you that we have such tools as a world wide web to communicate anywhere, really. If everyone had it on the planet, anyone could be contacted. Of course, it's not like this, and we're grateful daily this is growing to becoming a reality. And we look forward to the day that it does happen, because more people will have access, humanly speaking, to information that is saving in nature if they'd really desire to know what is truth. Thank you that we have the blueprint in the Bible to test everything according to it. Thank you for the exhaustive concordances that we believe the Holy Spirit's impressed, like James Strong and the doctors that put it together, the specialists in their field of translation. These tools are immensely helpful. I'm so glad we don't have to be a Hebrew, to know Hebrew or Greek necessarily as our first tongue, or even to have it as a second tongue, or that to know thy word and to have it in our language. And please may the translations continue to go forward in the Bible for others who don't yet have it in their language, but that the present truth would go with it as well, that they would see not a distorted translation, but the truth as it is in Jesus, that does not teach being saved in sin and doesn't encourage it either. We thank you that we know what it means. We know something of what it means, and all of us on the same journey, all of us at different rates, traveling different points in our walk with thee, Jesus, and we want this walk to continue and only become brighter because we believe it more, and so much the more that we see the day approaching. We talk today about a number of issues, especially the fact that there's never been a time like this time and that time, like World War I, World War II, and coronavirus, for an instance. And you're trying to prepare us for that time when we have no mediator. To live without sin, we can be safe through thy grace, not through boasting, but through being cleansed. And I pray we would deepen our experience, that our understanding of ourselves would increase, and that it will never be a shameful thing to admit our wrongs to whoever we have to admit them to. And thank you for doing this and giving us of thy Holy Spirit freely. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Dear Father in heaven, we're happy that we live in this time, that we can see what happened in the past, we experience what's happening right now, and we can see into the future. We thank you for your word that never fails, that's still, your word has not been changed since the beginning. It has come through everything, and we still have your word. Help us to get this word so firmly planted in our hearts and lives that it comes very easily to share what we know with others, so that they may have the peace and joy that comes with knowing your message of hope. Because when you tell us there's going to be something bad that comes, you also say, but don't worry about it, I'm with you. And we really appreciate that. Be with those who are sick. Be with those who are hurting. Be with those that need a special message of joy. And thank you, dear Lord, that we do have this internet at this time, and we can communicate one with another and see our heavenly family right here, right now. Thank you so much, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Loving Father in heaven, we thank you once again for prayer meeting night when we can come and study your word. Give us understanding. You said that the wise would understand. And we want to be among that group. We want to understand the future, so we'll know how to relate to it. And help us to be preparing for it, whether we understand it or not. Bless each one that comes out on Wednesday evening, or what is it, Thursday afternoon in Australia. We thank you for their attendance. And that, like Joan said, we are still free to worship you and use the internet, because we know someday they will have an algorithm that will cut us out when they hear us discussing Bible, or may just take our number and say that person can't get on the internet. Bless us and be with us tonight. And give us a good night's rest. May we meet again Friday evening, our time. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so very much for being with us this day throughout this meeting we have just held, notwithstanding the audio problems we had. As I have said so often before, Satan is alive and well. But with your help and your guidance, we will continue to withstand his assaults. I ask also that you will be with those of us who have special need of you in the days ahead, need of your support, your help, and your guidance right now. And a huge thank you, dear Father, that we can come to you like this just whenever we need to, always knowing that you will hear our prayer. I ask also that you will be with us during this coming week, keeping us close by your side, and especially helping us to be aware of your presence in our lives. We thank you for listening to this humble prayer offered in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Well, there's one song that comes to mind. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk with thee, let me walk close to thee.
Just a closer walk with thee, grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Well, is there, amen. Thank you for singing the same verse twice. I'm sorry about that. That must have been a typo where I got it from. You know, there's so many wonderful hymns, but then there's hymns you have to edit because of their belief, about, certain things, and they're Christians of long time ago, or if they're new. I thought Brother Bob would have a bit of experience with that, with his list of hymns on his website. But that's good. It keeps you active. You know, what are they singing? What are they talking about when they're singing these words? And that was one of them. That was one of the hymns that I had to edit, remove a verse because of their belief. But God help us, help people see we're not their enemies when we tell them the truth from the Bible, that the dead know not anything and that the resurrection is real. No need to go to heaven or hell beforehand. God will give every reward to whoever need what reward they need when Christ comes, when he comes. Shall give to everyone according to their works shall be. Was there anything else anyone would like to share before we close tonight? Anything that's on your mind or heart you would like to share, please feel free.
I would like to praise the Lord for hearing and answering prayer and divine protection. We had a couple big trees on the property that we wanted to get firewood from, and one just sort of was in the wrong place and needed to be cut. And there could have been so many things that went wrong, but everything went right. The trees landed exactly where we wanted them to land, even though it could have been, well, those that have fallen trees, they're unpredictable. You can notch them and you can do everything to them and something will happen and they just don't go where you want them to. And I'm not experienced at all in fallen trees, but God was merciful. And he allowed the trees to go exactly where we were hoping that they would go. So thank you, Lord, for your merciful kindness. And none of us were hurt, so that's a great additional blessing.
Well, I'm happy about our warm weather here. It was 84 today, and tomorrow and the next day after that is supposed to be up in the 90s. And everything is beautiful, green, a lot of flowers coming up. Spring, and most of all, they say the hot weather will kill the coronavirus. So that's always a good thought. I don't wish for the death of anything, but that one is a good one. Praise the Lord. you deal with Celsius in Australia, do you not? So do you know how to translate Celsius into Fahrenheit? I don't know how to do the reverse.
That's when Google comes in handy. Mr. Google.
How I remember is 25 Celsius is 75 Fahrenheit. So that's sort of how I gear it. So I think 84 degrees Fahrenheit is about 30 Celsius.
This is the way I remember. I got Celsius on the inside and Fahrenheit on the outside. This thing no longer works. You see, it says 80. Well, it's not 80 in here. It's 80 all day and all night. I saved it because it has both of them on it.
Well, thank you for those comments, and praise God. Indeed, I'm praising him with you, Paul. His help is very real. And I love it how it's not just materially, it's specifically inside the heart and the mind. When he can be safely trusted to control it, he's worthy of it. Well, once again, it's been a wonderful time with you, and it won't be long before we're together again on Sabbath or preparation day for you. The differences are quite stark, aren't they? And looking forward to that. And until then, keep looking up and listening to our brother Dick as he closes off for tonight. Take care, my friends.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking.